Okay, so I'm believing God.
We've got the dedicated believers tonight, right? The meat eaters. Don't we? Put your dentures in and let's go for it. We're going to eat meat tonight. All right, so here's the thing about meat, though. You got to chew it. Okay, so here's the thing about meat. You're going to chew it. And you might need to chew on this a little while. Okay? But I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. And you're going to be able to read it yourself. Okay? And here's the thing, though. This is the rub. Just because the Bible says it doesn't mean people believe it. Okay? Because what happens is we have a little mechanism inside of us that we have a belief system and we have traditions that we live by. We have a habitual way of being. And we can get revelation, but if we're not at the place to where our inner person is looking for those answers yet, it doesn't mean anything to them. So it takes time to let this become a reality to you. When I share these verses, you're going to go, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. But I'll let you know, it's not, oh yeah, 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 oh yeah. It's not. It's, ooh. Okay. But you'll be in the same company as the people that these letters are written to, right? So praise God for that. All right, so open up your Bibles. Pastor Trey has been teaching on the book of Galatians. We've been doing it for 3 weeks now, and it's been really, really, really good. And he said something in one of those weeks. Remember this morning when he said that it's really cool when you hear somebody teaching because as you're listening to their message, the Holy Spirit's downloading one to you because the Spirit's moving in the room, and so revelation is flowing while you're hearing a message. So feel free to write a novel while you're in here tonight. So I want to let you know. And so he was saying something, and it just kind of triggered on the inside of me. I had no intention of teaching anything about it, but you know, it just kind of triggers something inside of you. And then as I was teaching, doing my studying for tonight, which I want to talk about the first chapter of 2 Peter. Okay, that's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to talk about. Okay? But the Holy Spirit kept, as I was studying it and doing it, and I'll hit it a little bit, but he was doing these other things with me. And so I need to do them with you also, because this is what he wants us to have tonight. Is that all right? Okay, so just promise me you'll still love me when I'm done, okay? There will be no correction. It'll only be revelation, okay? But it's almost like putting new wine into an old wineskin, or sewing new cloth on an old outfit. When you wash that cloth, that new piece shrinks and could tear. So I'm just asking the Lord that you really have a new wineskin and a new garment on as we're listening to this, okay? Because it will be easy to poo-poo it, okay, and to dismiss it. But I want to let you know, it's vital, just really vital, okay? So let's go ahead and start in 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Because I have to look at 1 Peter chapter 1 in order to get to 2 Peter. Because we need to know some things about it. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1. So in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 1, this is who he's writing to. Okay, it's important that you know who he's writing to. So as you're reading the book and 2 Peter, you realize that he's writing to all of these new churches. Okay? So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims. That's the people that were dispersed everywhere, right? Of the dispersion in Pontus, and if I don't say these right, forgive me, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Right. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. So this is his main point. He's just starting right out with to all of these people. about the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, okay? Jesus' blood forgave our entire life. It completely nullified anything that transgressed against God and made us completely different, okay? So that's how he starts, and that's who he's talking to. And then he goes to this letter, and this is what he says. Are you going to stay with me? Grace and peace be multiplied. Blessing be the God and Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's very easy for your doctrine to kick in right there. We'll just keep going though. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness or the trial, if you're in King James, of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, so your faith being tested to find out if you actually have real faith, okay? Whether you really actually got it or not, is more precious than refined gold. Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom you have not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Ready? Tilt is coming. What he's saying to these people is because they personally have not gotten a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ yet, their lives are being grievous and difficult because they haven't received the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm starting right out with T-Bone here, you guys. This is an issue in the churches. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The typical churches will let you think that something is going to be revealed when Jesus returns, like in 1 John chapter 3, where it says that we don't know what we are, but we know that when we see him, we'll be as he is. That's me slaughtering it. Okay? That's very true. But this revelation of Jesus Christ is something we're supposed to be getting right now. Go with me to Galatians real quick. Galatians chapter 1. Are you with me? Okay, I'm going to start in verse 11, and I'm going to read through maybe 16, 17. Okay, this is, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. So the revelation that Paul is preaching is not according to any man, right? No person taught him this. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. So, this revelation of Jesus Christ is for us right now in our life. But if you're a baby still, which you guys are not, you're still going to be operating carnally and according to the flesh and have troubles in the flesh because you don't have the revelation of Jesus Christ yet. Okay, you need to have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not a revelation of Jesus Christ. The same revelation he had, you have to have. That's what he's saying here. And Paul is telling them that this came by the revelation. Well, what is this? So let's read on. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, for what? To reveal, capital H, his, capital S, son, in my Bible, which in the original language doesn't have it, his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. The University of Arabia, as Pastor Trey taught. So this is what he's saying. That he had a revelation of Jesus Christ, and because he personally had the revelation of Jesus Christ, he understood grace by faith. He understood the new creation. He understood who he was in the spirit, separate from the flesh, because of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which only comes from God. That's where it comes from. Say, well, Pastor Robert, you have one that says that he had it, but then the rest sounds like it's in a futuristic thing. Do you got anywhere else where it's not futuristic, but he's talking to them also? Go to Corinthians. See what he says to the Corinthian church. This, in my opinion, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in my opinion, this is like the important doorway that a person has to walk through in order to move from operating in self-will, self-behavior modification, by faith according to the traditions of men, which doesn't mean actual faith. It means I'm going to do it and agree with it because it's in the Bible, but it's a mystery to me still. I'm just doing it because it says it in the Bible. You don't have any revelation of it yet. But Peter was saying that your faith has to be tested. It's got to be real for you. And when you get it tested, it's more precious than gold that's been refined by fire. It's more precious than beautiful, transparent gold when your faith is real. So, in the Corinthian church, look what he says here. So he's been talking to the entire Corinthians. I'm going to start in verse 4. And it says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. So, this was given to us by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. So they had knowledge, they had utterance, they had the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in them, right? Look what they're doing, though. They're waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he goes on to correct them for still being carnally minded because they haven't received yet the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, let me just spout out a bunch of verses that you know, okay? Because you believe this. You may not have put two and two together, but I think you believe this. Do you believe that Christ in you is your hope of glory? Do you? Do you know you have to have a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to know that? You have to have the revelation that Jesus himself lives in you. That's a big deal. You know, it says that it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. We say those words, but you have to have the revelation of Jesus Christ for that to be real inside of you, and you not just mimicking and spouting off what you read in the book. You have to realize that you have Christ in you, in me. So that means Jesus himself. Jesus said, let's go there real quick. I think it's in Mark chapter 8. Let me just look real quick. I think it is in Mark 8. Jesus was talking. This is about, you know, remember when Peter talked to him about that he had revelation and that he got rebuked, called him Satan? No, that's not. Oh, this is John. Yeah, let me just, I'm not in Mark. It's Mark chapter 8. Look at this. Yeah, verse 34. Okay, so this is after Peter got rebuked because he was mindful of the things of man and not the things of God. That's huge. Being your mind filled with people things or filled with God things. What's your mind filled with? Eternity or temporary life on the earth? What's your mind full of? So this is what he said in verse 34 through 38. He says, when he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with his angels. What the heck is he saying there? Let me just tell a story. Can I just make up a little something, something? This is not real. This is me just talking, okay? But if you can pull some truth out of it, I would. So let's just say, for example, that he's talking to people that are completely earthly minded at the time. And he's saying that, you guys, you don't understand yet. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. You need to be absolutely consumed with me in you. You have to be completely immersed in me. So much so that you're baptized in my name. In other words, you're fully whelmed, completely saturated with the idea of Jesus Christ and you being one. He says, if you will deny yourself, if you will deny that life that you had of who you are as a person and lay that one down and pick up my life in its place, when I come with my Father and I come and you are not ashamed of me being in you and my words, then when I come with my Father, I will lighten up and brighten up in my glory. And since I'm in you, my glory of me, when I'm brightening up, since I'm in you, you will brighten up with me. Because I am brightening up by the Spirit of God. Therefore, your life is hidden in me. And you were raised with me. So that when I appear, you will appear with me in my glory. Does that make sense? And that's what he's, but if you're ashamed of me, if you don't acknowledge me in you and my words in you, then I'll look away and my glory won't light up inside of you. Because if you don't want anything to do with me, then when I come and light up in my glory, I won't be in you. So you'll lose your life. But if you'll lose your life now and acknowledge me in you and my life in you and live by my life inside of you, then When I appear in glory, you'll appear with me and you will light up in my glory. Is it making sense as I'm hearing you doing this? I think that I have been guilty of not really having the revelation of Jesus Christ. In Corinthians, he went on to say that you're still carnal. You're non-spiritual yet. You're taking each other to court. You're still doing things. You're getting offended by one another. You're comparing yourselves with other people. He says you need to wake up to righteousness. And it's a shame that I've even got to tell you guys this. But the righteousness of God is the life of Christ, is the righteousness and the glory of God in us, right? Glory is Jesus Christ. It's not something as a gift from Jesus, separate from him. He is glory. He is righteousness. He is eternal life. If he and the Father are eternal life, then by releasing our life to them through him, then we have eternal life. Look what he says. I'm just going to read on a little further. Are we still in Mark? No, that's not where it was. I don't remember where it was. He said this. He said that, oh, thank you, Jesus. John chapter 10. God's so good to me. He wants me to share it. Thank you. John chapter 10. I taught this on Thursday, but I didn't hit this point, so I want to hit it now. John chapter 10. On Thursday, we're talking about the sheepfold on John chapter 10. But look at this. I'll start in verse 16, cutting right into it, that he's a good shepherd, that his sheep hear his voice and they know it. Therefore, I'm going to start in 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Look, therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Ooh, 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 ooh. Holy smokes. That is huge. He laid down his life so that he can take life again. If he hadn't laid down his life, he couldn't take life again. If we don't lay down our natural lives, our soulish, carnal, selfish, temporary lives, we can't take up the eternal one. We have to lay it down to take up the eternal one. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm just going to read verse 45. Are you there? And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Stop. Adam became a living being, right? Look what Jesus did. The last Adam, which is Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Jesus became a life-giving spirit. You don't get a portion of Jesus' spirit. You get his life-giving spirit. Because Jesus is going to raise himself in you. And you and I get to go along for the ride. You know, it says that even if you are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. He can't deny himself. So because he's in you, he will raise you. Because he's in me, he will raise me. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the life that I live now, the life that you live now. So, let's go back to 1 Peter. Now, can I do a couple other verses first? 1 Corinthians 4:14. I'll just let Debbie bring it up. I want you to see these verses. 1 Corinthians 4:14. 2 Corinthians 4:14, I'm sorry. Oops, sorry, Deb. 2 Corinthians 4:14. 2 Corinthians. Therefore, for knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus Christ will also raise us up with Christ and will present us with you. Colossians 1:27 is the one I already read to you. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. I'm very famous for reading those. If you got those, Deb. These are like pet verses of mine. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ. Whoa! Past tense. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. 2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. 3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. None of that is me and you. That is all him. You know when we say the phrase, it's all Jesus? It really is. That's why he wants us to worship him. That's why he wants us to praise him. That's why, I'm going to jump again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to jump again. I'm going to show you another one. You'll start putting these together. Philippians chapter 4. Things that it's really easy to just read over the top of. And focus on a part, but not all of it. Philippians chapter 4. Very, very famous portion of scripture, starting in verse 4. Ready? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So we're supposed to be rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Right? We're supposed to be rejoicing in Jesus Christ always. Always. Not rejoicing to Jesus. Rejoicing in Jesus. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Isn't that wonderful? That's that is so powerful. But there's more. What does it say? Through Christ Jesus. The word through is dia. It means by the process of. Through. By is by the means of, through is the process of. By us doing this, we will have the peace of God surpassing all understanding in your hearts and minds. Through Christ Jesus, who is in you and I. We are rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Okay, we're almost there. I'm seeing that I've got a few empty plastic bags here. They were getting filled up, but I see them emptying. Okay. This is so exciting. This is so exciting. It's not you and me. It is not us. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when you're looking at your spouse, we no longer look at them according to the flesh. We need to look at them at Jesus. Because everything we do to the glory of God. We say those words, but I don't think we make the connection of the revelation of Jesus Christ. You have to get your personal revelation of Jesus Christ as you. As you. Jesus Christ as you. And then these scriptures that we read where God raises us through Christ's glory, he raises us up by Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory, that all of it is Jesus, that we acknowledge Jesus in all things while denying ourselves. Not my will, but your will, Lord. That the Holy Spirit that we've been baptized is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And when we acknowledge not just that he's with us, but that we give way to him being the Lord. That when people see us, they see the Lord Jesus Christ because he leads us. That what we do because we see him doing it. We hear him telling us that it's him in us moving and having his being. Open up the bags a little wider. Some more to cram in there. Okay, I said meat, you guys. I said we're going to have to chew this. Okay? It's easy to say words that don't mean anything because they're written in the book. It's another thing to be the words you read in the book. Peter was very clear. Let's go to him now, 1 Peter. Then I can get to 2 Peter chapter 1. Maybe, maybe not. 1 Peter. So 1 Peter is talking to these people. And if you remember what he wrote right here, he said in verse 7 that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. In other words, you have really got to own this, you guys. You've got to really be trusting God for this. Really. Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where it comes, is at the revelation of Jesus Christ now in this life. Let me read it again. Verse 7. That the genuineness, well, let me start in 6 just because it's important. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Okay? Paul went into the desert for years to get this revelation. He set himself aside to get this revelation. Do you know what a caterpillar does? A caterpillar eats. That's what a caterpillar does. It eats. It maybe walks around a little bit, but what a caterpillar does is it eats. That's what a caterpillar does. It eats. Did I say that enough times? What does a caterpillar do?
It eats.
It eats. Then it crawls around to get to the next leaf that it devours. I mean, they will just chomp this thing down like we do the hearts of watermelon. Just, you know that? Seedless, of course. But caterpillars eat. And when they finish that leaf, they go to the next one. And then you know what they do? They eat. And they eat 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 and they eat. Then you know what they do? They bind themselves up. They create silk and they, or whatever the fabric is of cocoons, and they wrap themselves after they're done eating.
they wrap themselves and they bind themselves up. And they completely restrict themselves so that as a caterpillar, that time is over. They eat and eat and eat, and then they take tremendous self-control, tremendous authority over themselves, and they will no longer remain a caterpillar anymore because they ate and ate and ate and ate, and a change is coming, and they feel a change coming. And so they bind themselves up in a cocoon that they cannot get free of because it's like a resin, fibered resin when it's done. And in that cocoon, a transformation takes place, like in the desert of Arabia. And what happens is an entirely new creation comes out. And as that caterpillar changes, it loses all of its feet and every manner that resembled the life that he had before is gone. There is nothing of the old life left again. It's completely gone because he limited himself and restricted himself and took control over himself for the transformation to take place. That we use the word metamorpho. Okay, which means to be transformed. We use it in the Bible as our minds being transformed and no longer being conformed to this world. Then this caterpillar, he will eventually be completely changed to a new creation, no longer a creation of the earth. No longer as something that walks upon the earth. An entirely new animal comes out. It's called a butterfly. And when that butterfly immerses, you know what? He is exactly the opposite of a caterpillar. A caterpillar is a thing of the earth. A butterfly is a thing of the heavens. A caterpillar spends his whole life eating. A butterfly never eats anything. Never. It's an entirely different thing. Its life came from what was within when it was transformed. The transformation filled it with a new kind of life. And you and I are like that. But we have to, while we're going through what seems to be grievous for a while. Why? Because your brain can't comprehend the revelation of Jesus Christ. You need the help of the Spirit of God and the Word of God so that it becomes your real life. Let's go on to further. Go into chapter 5 of 1 Peter. Verse 10. As he's wrapping it up, he says, chapter 5, verse 10 of 1 Peter, he says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. His eternal glory is coming by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay? So he finishes this book talking to them about who they are. All these pilgrims of all these churches. Now we go into 1 Peter. Because I want to let you know, or 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the first chapter, is what we're going to talk about. This transformation life. But the rest of the book, he's warning them. And just read it yourself. He's warning them about all the heresies and the false doctrines and all the issues that are contrary to Christ. And 1 John talks about this. The Antichrist is a mindset that says that you can't be Christ. You can't be. But the Bible says you must be. Because it's him that's going to come in a glorified body. It just happens to be inside this vessel. So let me read 1 Peter. Now let's go to 1 Peter like I wanted to do. Yes, thank you. 2 Peter. I did. I love it. Peter's an awesome guy. You know, he made a lot of mistakes, but he really believes what he believes. And he goes after what he believes. And he's made a lot of mistakes, and he did a lot of things that he got criticism for. But I promise, if they made books about me, it would be worse. I mean, I would be looking a fool. I would be looking double-minded. I'd be looking like I am not anything that it says in 2 Peter that you need to be. So let's read 2 Peter chapter 1 now. Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained, past tense, like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, they got it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In his divine power, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Look at this. Through the knowledge of him, through getting to know him, who called us by glory and virtue. Virtue is translated manliness, but let me tell you what virtue is. Virtue is more than manliness. It's the ability to do what is necessary before you. It means manliness, but it's like the frame of a man. A man can lift heavy things, okay? A man can make things happen because he's powerful as a body compared to a feminine body. Okay? So this is the ability to bring to power what is necessary. Okay? This is virtue. So he says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of what? The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Let me say what this means. Giving all diligence is important. If you say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. You died on the cross for my sins. I ask you to bring me into your eternal kingdom. He will. And the Holy Spirit will do his very best to get through to you, to encourage you, and to teach you. But it may take a very, very, very long time, because the world weighs so heavy on people's minds and emotions, and the things that they find valuable are temporary things of this earth. And so through all that, when he can get a little bit of a moment that you'll pay attention, he can give you a little more life in you. But what Peter's saying is, there's a responsibility on us that's greater than just letting God do it to us. We need to work it out too. We need to come into agreement with God and do our part with him. We're both on the same page, being reconciled together. So then it says, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. This word add is not matheo. It is not add like addition. This add is epikoriego. Epikoriego means upon choreography, which means koriego is a word that was created when they used to have, remember when they wore the top hats and they all went to the theater and they had plays and the men dressed up and did all the parts and they would have those big flyers all around and it was a big thing to go to the theater, right? And back then, what they would do is somebody had to pay for all that. So they would get a person, a benefactor, who would put up the money that would pay for all the costumes, pay for the scripts, pay for the sets to be done, pay for the auditorium. They would lavishly pay for all of it that it can go over really, really well and make a profit, right? So there would be no need and no expenses spared. This is koriego, to supply lavishly what's necessary to pull it off. Okay? So this word add is epikoriego, that you have to supply what it takes to pull this off. Okay? It's not typical English add, like 2 plus 2 equals 4. So this is what he says. You need to be very diligent. I need to be very diligent. And I need to do what it takes to pull this off. I need to make it have a grand finish. So it says, add to your faith virtue. Add to the faith. Remember this faith? This faith is the faith that's tried and tested and more precious than purified, refined gold. This faith works. This is the real deal. And when you've gotten the real deal, then you add to that virtue. And then after you add that virtue, the power to do what it takes, then you add to it knowing the Lord, the knowledge of Jesus, who he is and what he's really like. And you take your knowledge of Jesus and add that to the faith that you're absolutely tested and convinced in. So then you go to adding knowledge. And then since you know the Lord and you have absolute faith, you exercise self-control and you no longer let yourself do these things. You wrap yourself in the cocoon. Eating, eating, eating is the faith and knowing God through here and through prayer and fastings. Then you get that. And once you've gotten that, then you exercise. You do not allow yourself to do those things that transgress God anymore. You stop yourself from acting a fool. You stop yourself from being connected and addicted to things. You take authority over your body and you do not allow it to bring a disgrace to God anymore. I'm not talking about works for favor. I'm talking about a responsibility because you've been changed now. Because you actually have the revelation of Jesus Christ. You actually know you are no longer of this world. You are of heaven now. You are of the godly kind. So therefore, you stop your earthly person from having its way. Then you add to that self-control, perseverance. You hang in there and you hang in there and you hang in there and you do not change. And you make it to where all the addictions, all the worldly desires, all the carnal behavior, all the outbursts of wrath, all of it, all this, I'm getting kind of fired up. All the weak things that we use as excuses, you stay in it until they disappear. Till the cravings for being carnal stop. Then you add to your perseverance godliness. That word perseverance is patience. It's hupa. It means to actually stay underneath this stuff until you're changed. You stay under the self-control until it changes you. Then to godliness. You start behaving the way a spiritual person of God behaves. The way the Lord Jesus Christ behaves. The way the Father behaves. Godliness. Holiness. Purity. Then you start actually caring about other people. You start liking other Christians because your selfishness has been done away with now. And now that all your selfishness and me, they're talking about me. Well, I don't like the way they do this and they need to change me. When all that's dealt with, then you start actually caring about the people that are around you. And after you start caring about the people that are around you, you can start freely loving everybody the way God loves everybody because you're out of the way. If you do that, this is what it says. For if, verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will never, ever say, I can't hear God's voice, or I don't know exactly what God is up to right now. You will know exactly what he is up to. You will know exactly what the Lord is saying. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed of his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent. In other words, really suck it up and go for it to make your call and election sure. In other words, you, whatever God's asked you to do, you get it done. You make it happen. You reach the world. You do whatever he's called you to do. And you don't go crying to God, I'm guilty of this worse than any of you. So I'm talking to me five times. I'll do this. I'll point at you and I'll have three fingers pointing back at me. Okay? I'm very guilty of waiting for God to lead me. And I got so convicted when I read this. Because it is up to you and I to pull off whatever it is God has called us to do, what we were elected to do individually. Not for him, for you and I. We'll make your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And my personal belief is, and I'm not putting it on any of you to agree with me on this, but I'm getting to be unmovable on this, is that I believe that entrance is now in this lifetime and not at the return of what we call the day of the Lord. I believe an entrance is for us right now in this life. Once we are that dedicated and committed to the Lord himself. Okay? Peter goes on. And so he says, for this reason, I will not neglect to remind you always of these things. In other words, he's getting ready to, I'll just finish, to remind you of these things, though you know and are now established in the present truths. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this body or in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must be put off this tent. In other words, he's going to leave. He's going to die. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. So Jesus showed him that he's going to go. Why? Because he had this entrance. He was able to go. He was able to meet with the Lord. He was able to know these things. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. In other words, this is just like in John 14, 15, 16, and 17, where Jesus found it very vitally important to give them the very last instructions before he was leaving to go be with the Father. This is Peter's vital information that you have to have before he goes away and dies. So this chapter is vital. It's what he thinks is the most important thing for us to really get a grip on. Then it goes on. 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were actually there. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came from him. Came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He also said, this is what he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him, is what he told Peter, James, and John when God appeared to them. He says, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. That's the Transfiguration Mountain. And so we have this prophetic word confirmed, which you will do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place. In other words, he's saying, listen, I was there. I saw it happen. You need to heed what I'm telling you, that this is going to stabilize you during this process you have to go through. It would be very good for you to pay attention to what I'm give this prophetic word to you. And it says, verse 19, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place." Listen, "until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The glory of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory." All the things that we say are the reality of you being transformed. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is any of private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Chew, chew, chew. And I don't mean chew, chew. I mean grind it up. Think about it. Grind it up some more. Taste it. Savor it. Talk to the Lord about it. This is the message that you can't go home and just shake it off and act like you never heard it. This is one of those hard ones that's life-changing. Okay, but Jesus is coming in you and me. And the time of the church being powerless is ending. Amen. The congregation is hungry for the anointing to be upon them and not just who's ever standing in front of them. And the revelation of Jesus Christ is waking up in everybody that calls himself the name of the Lord. And because of that, people are going to have to bind themselves up, take control of themselves, and make themselves obey God. And make themselves be the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the knowledge of knowing him, by the knowledge of what's written in the book, by the knowledge of prayer and fasting and getting into the face of God, by the knowledge of revelation being revealed to you. Okay? I want to give you some consolation to those of you that this is just too hard for. You're still saved. If you just say, "Jesus, come into my heart. You died on the cross for my sins. I can't do it. You can. I'll let you." Okay? And there'll be a lot of Christians that'll be like the Corinthian church that never get the revelation of Jesus Christ. And they still are fighting and bickering over the silliest things because they don't know how to lay down their life and to pick up Jesus' life. But I think you can, because you're the Sunday night crowd. You're the ones that don't squealy and cry about it and say, "God, help me." You say, "God, thank you for empowering me." And we rejoice with thanksgiving in the Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing always with all prayers and all supplications, letting our requests be made known as we worship and glorify in him. And then the peace of God, the fellowship and the oneness of God fills us with that calm sturdiness of being one with him that guards us like a shield, because the revelation of the presence of the person of Jesus gets magnified in me. Then it doesn't matter where you walk. It's Psalms 91 everywhere you go. But it takes you doing it. You're commanded to do it, to be diligently. And you supply everything you need to get it done. Not God, you. Okay? This is not about works. It's about dominating your flesh and walking by the Spirit. Not letting it push you around anymore. There's only two spirits in the world. The Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the world. One of those, you're tuned into his channel. Some of us have sloppy dials. They click back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But you just tape that thing on one channel and stay there. Amen?